This is it for 2012. But isn't it wonderful, although Eric might not agree with this, that we have such modern equipment that even when we have 7 to 10 inches of snow, that we can get out and travel from Rhode Island or New Hampshire and get here for evening services to be together. Amen. And we're just delighted that everyone is here this evening with us that could be here. You know, when you look at the Bible, there are a lot of intriguing characters in the Bible. And if you'll notice, and I don't know whether you can see this from the distance, but all of these intriguing Bible personalities that I put up here are of the fairer sex. And we're going to talk about mamas and grandmothers for the most part of the lesson this evening. And then towards the end, we're going to have something to say to the children. So I guess dads and would-be dads and granddads can just sit back and relax, because this is an evening that we're going to be talking to the ladies. And I certainly appreciated the song service that Dennis led for us. Be strong, be courageous. God is wherever you go, and the mighty power of God is there. And these all ring true, though Dennis didn't know it at the time, in Hannah's life. And that's who we're going to be talking about this evening. But before we get into that discussion, I want to share with you a quotation from Teddy Roosevelt, a former president and one of the Rough Riders. And Teddy had this to say: when all is said, it is the mother who does her part in rearing and training aright the boys and girls who are to be the men and women of the next generation. It is she who is of greatest use to the community and occupies, if she would only realize it, a more honorable role as well as a more important position than any man in it. She is more important by far than the successful statesman or businessman or artist or scientist. Think about that for a moment. And he's talking about in the broad context of society. But we want to bring it back to our family, the church that gathers here. And I would say to you that the mother is every bit as important in this setting as is she in the general community. More than anyone else, it's our mothers who mold us and shape us into that person that we're going to become. And among those mothers whose stories are included in the Bible, there's none greater, I would suggest to you, than Hannah, the mother of Samuel. Well, let's think about Hannah for just a moment in the context of motherhood. Motherhood is, in our society, and in her society, was often maligned. Every female, and every male knows that it's essential, if children are going to be brought into the world, that there has to be a mother. It's necessary. But oh, too often, it's viewed as a burden or an obstacle to my career, to my development, to my place in society. And sometimes people view it just as something to be overcome and put behind, while others want the reward of motherhood, but not the work that it takes to be a mother. When we look at motherhood from the viewpoint of Hannah, we see, first of all, that she was childless and sad about it. 1 Samuel 1, verses 1 through 7. And I very much thank Kevin for reading that long reading so that we would have before us the story of Hannah. And I apologize to Andrew because I forgot to look at the list because he was the person that was supposed to have been reading, and I just asked Kevin to do it. Nonetheless, Hannah was childless, and she was sad, deeply sad. Well, what was happening in her time? And I want you to think about the culture that we live in. Small children being shot in school. All kinds of things that are ungodly that are going on in our world. But I'm going to show you that the situation surrounding Hannah was far, far worse than the world that we live in. If you look at Judges 19 and 20, the first thing that we see is a Levite goes to a city in the town, one of the towns of the tribe of Benjamin, and those people demand to have sex with him. Now, how many towns in this country do you know of that you would go into where they would demand to have sex with you? Maybe there are some. I don't know any of them. But what he did was send out his concubine, and they raped and killed her. And as a result, he cut her body up into 12 pieces and sent them throughout all of Israel. And in verse 30 we read, such a thing has never been seen or done, not since the day the Israelites came out of Egypt. Think about it, consider it, and tell us what to do. Can you envision the environment that Hannah wanted to bring children up in? As a result of this, the 11 tribes united against Benjamin. And they went to battle, and on the third day, 25,000 Benjaminites died. And only 600 were able to flee into the desert and be preserved. The men of Israel then, after they killed all of these Benjaminites and those 600 fled, they went through the area of Benjamin into all the cities and put them to the sword. They killed the animals and everything else they found. All of the towns in Benjamin were put to fire. Because the men of Israel had taken an oath in Judges 20, 46 through verse 1 of 21, that not one of us from the other 11 tribes will give his daughter in marriage to a Benjaminite. So here we have all of Benjamin destroyed, save these 600 men. But they did save 400 young women. And at the time, the tribes were largely dysfunctional, bogged down in idolatry, fighting among themselves and with each other. And at this point, they've destroyed basically all of Benjamin except for these 600 men, and we'll see these 400 women that they set aside and gave to these 600 Benjaminites. At least 200 without wives. And so they set up a way for these 200 men to go kidnap women from Shiloh during the annual feast there. And in verse 25 of chapter 21, in those days, Israel had no king, and everyone did as he saw fit. That sounds very much like our country, doesn't it? Everyone does as he sees fit. But here's a woman that's deeply, deeply desirous of raising a child in this kind of depraved environment. They had rejected God as their king, and God, in His great wisdom and His plan from the beginning, had a solution to deal with this woeful condition that existed, so that in the middle of this depraved society, God found a solution in a righteous woman, Hannah. You who will be mothers, think about how are you going to raise your child in a depraved society. And we're going to see how Hannah raised her child, Samuel, in this society as we look back at the story. It was read to us from 1 Samuel chapter 1. He had two wives. One of his wives had children. The other wife, Hannah, had no children. And can't women be mean? The one wife that had children continuously picked on and opened the womb. Not the womb, but the wound in Hannah, for the fact that she had no children. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Every year, they went to Shiloh for the feast. And the husband gave to one wife and her children the things that were needed to sacrifice when they went to Shiloh for the festival. And he gave a double portion to Hannah because he loved her and the Lord had closed her womb. And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. We're not told how many years, but it must have been a number of years that this took place. Whereas Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. And her husband said to her, "Why? Why are you not eating? Why are you weeping? Am I not worth more to you than 10 sons?" It was a fairly long journey that they had to make from their home up to Shiloh, probably a day's journey. And as the story continues, when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up, and Eli was the priest. And he was sitting on a chair by the doorsteps of the Lord's temple. And in bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. Remember, this occurred year after year after year after year. And what did she do continuously? She prayed. She prayed year after year after year. With much weeping and bitterness of soul. And she made a vow saying, "O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will touch his head." Here's a mother, not yet pregnant, that already has planned what she's going to do to raise her child to love the Lord. Mothers, mothers-to-be, grandparents, think about that. Don't wait until they're teenagers. Don't wait until they're 8 or 9 years old. Begin thinking about it before you even think about having children. And she kept on praying, and she was praying so fervently and so hard. Her mouth was moving, but no words were coming out. And Eli, the priest, thought that she was drunk. And he said, "How long have you been getting drunk? Get rid of the wine." And as she kept on praying, this is what transpired. And she said to Eli, "I'm not drunk. I haven't consumed wine. I'm a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant as a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." The story continues, and Eli tells her to go in peace and says, "May the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him." And she says to Eli, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." Then she went away and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Because what had she done? She had put her faith in the Lord and put her outcome in the hands of the Lord. Well, they go back home and they have carnal relationships, and she becomes with child. And so, in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son, and she named that son Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him." It's time again to go up to Shiloh for the feast, for their annual sacrifices. And she said, "I'm not going to go this time. I'll go once I have weaned the child." And he said to her, "Do what is best. Stay here until you wean the child." And so the woman stayed. And so the woman stayed at home and nursed her son until she had weaned him. And after she weaned him, she took the boy with her, along with a bull and some flour and some wine, to Shiloh to make an offering. And when the offering was made, she brought the boy, and he was a young boy, to Eli. Now think about this for just a minute. What do we know about Eli's sons? They were priests, but they were scoundrels, were they not? And yet, she had enough faith to place her son in a situation where he could be raised to love the Lord. And she goes on to say, "I pray for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I ask of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. The point here is, mothers, you need to make that decision early that you're going to dedicate yourself to training your children from the very beginning, so that the rest of their lives, when they have left, they will be ready to give themselves over to the Lord as well. Hannah gave heed to prayer. 1 Samuel 1:18. she wanted desperately to be a mother. And she took her child, or she took her problem to the only place where a solution could be found. She took it to God in fervent, private prayer, speaking softly, year after year after year, asking God to open her womb and allow her to have a child. She poured out her anguish and her bitterness in her prayers. Eli mistook her for being drunk, but when Hannah explained her problem, Eli prayed for her, adding his prayers to hers. And that's where husbands can be very, very helpful, to be supportive, both in prayer and in the raising of the children. She left with an unburdened soul because her cares were in God's hands. Her prayers were answered. 1 Samuel 1:19 through 20. I don't know how long it took, but we do know that she prayed year after year after year, but in God's own time, He answered her prayers. She set herself before, or she set God before herself. Think about that for a moment. She set herself, or she set God before herself. So many of us today set ourselves first. Our children second, and God somewhere down the line. We need, both as mothers and fathers, to set God first so that we can bring our children up to love the Lord. And she made a vow to give the child to God. And I would hope that every mother makes that same vow. Not that you're going to turn the child over to a priest, but that you're going to raise that child to love the Lord and to become one of His servants down the line. And she kept that vow in 1 Samuel 1:21 through 28. She made a decision about the religious upbringing of her child from the very, very beginning. She didn't leave it up to the child. And that's a question I always like to ask. Who's the parent? When the child is screaming on the floor and you give in to them, the child becomes the parent. Who is the parent? Hannah was the parent, and she raised her child to love the Lord. Well, let's think about Samuel for just a minute. He lived somewhere around 1090 to 1015 BC, and he was one of the greatest leaders in all of Israel's history. He's right in between Moses and David as one of those great Bible characters. He was the only man in the Old Testament to be a judge, a high priest, and a prophet. Under his leadership, Israel renounced idolatry, reestablishing the worship of Jehovah, and he drove the Philistines back into their own territory. He's the first of the writing prophets of the Old Testament, having written two books of the Old Testament, 1 and 2 Samuel. And you know, he delivered to David one of the most famous of the messianic prophecies. If you would turn to 2 Samuel chapter 7, 2 Samuel chapter 7, beginning in verse 12, when your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, this is talking to David, I will set up your seed after you who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. And then in verse 16, and your house and your kingdom shall be established forever. before you. Your throne shall be established forever. God used Hannah to give birth to one of the greatest of all the prophets. Almost single-handedly, he brought Israel out of idolatry back to the law. He led the transition from that loose confederacy, those fighting tribes, into a united kingdom. And he was the mentor, both spiritually and physically, of the first two kings of Israel, Saul and David. Well, what can we learn from Hannah? Well, I would suggest to you that it's obvious that Hannah was truly dedicated to God in spite of the conditions in which she lived. In spite of the way Israel was acting at this particular time, a time when it didn't mean God automatically would bless her with children. She resorted to the most powerful thing that we have, to earnest, repeated, sustained prayer. Even in bitterness of soul, letting out her anguish and her grief, and with much weeping and mourning. And she offered a solemn oath in her prayers. She poured out her soul to the Lord. Not once, but year after year after year. And she didn't give up when God didn't answer her prayer right away. When God granted her prayer, she followed through with her promise. Can you imagine? Can you imagine how hard that must have been to give that child that she wanted so desperately to the priest to raise him? But God blessed her with 5 more children, 3 sons and 2 daughters. What do you think of the patience that she must have had in praying year after year after year? I would suggest to you that there's no doubt that her righteousness was genuine. She brought her case before the Lord and then was content to leave it in His hands, proving that her faith was genuine and patient. She truly persisted in pointing out her troubles to God, never waning, never deciding that this was a useless exercise. Before the child was even born, or she even knew that she could conceive, she had dedicated that child to the Lord. 1 Samuel 1 and verse 11, I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life. When Samuel was born, she openly, exuberantly praised God, and she named him in honor of God. 1 Samuel 1:20, she named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord of him. And she left him far from home, even though she might have had reason to fear the influence. Remember those 2 evil sons of the high priest. Eli's sons were wicked men, and they had no regard for the Lord. 1 Samuel 2 and verse 12. She did all that she could, and she trusted the Lord to control the circumstances of Saul's life. She never despaired. She never despaired. But how often do we despair when we think something is difficult beyond our capability? When we look around the world and we see all those worldly people with so much more than we have, we can't always see the benefit of following God's ways when others have so much more than we have. When times are difficult and my situation seems hopeless, remaining faithful can be very, very hard, very difficult. But Hannah reminds us to keep on praying and to keep on trusting. Two of the greatest lessons that I gained from Hannah were, one, her faithful praying brought a great blessing, not just to her, because after all, she did get the child she asked for, but that blessing went way beyond her to reunite the nation of Israel under Saul and David and Solomon. But more importantly, it was through that seed that the Messiah was to come to give that offering of salvation to all who would listen to him and obey his word. And secondly, her highest goal was to serve and honor God. Even Samuel was not her first priority. Well, the result in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 26, we read that he grew in stature and in favor both with the Lord, which is most important, but also with men. A mother's prayer, vow, decision, and care brought about a right result. And all mothers, looking at what Hannah did, can bring about similar results. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 20 and 23. And now I'm talking to the young people. My son, keep your father's commandments and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continuously upon your heart, tie them around your neck, and when you roam, they're going to be there. And they'll pull you back. When you sleep, they will keep you near. When you're awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp and the law of a light. Reproof of instructions are the way of life. And then in Proverbs chapter 23, verses 15 through 26, my son, if your heart is wise, mama's heart, papa's heart will rejoice. Indeed, I myself, yes, my innermost being will rejoice when your lips speak right things. Can you see at the end of this the pride and the joy and the happiness that a child that's brought up to love the Lord gives to his parents? Do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day, for surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be caught up. Hear, my son, and be wise, and guide your heart in the way. Do not mix with winebibbers or with gluttonous eaters of meat, for the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will cloak a man with rags. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despair your mother when she is old. Do not despair your mother when she is old. By that truth that your mother and father give you, and do not sell it. Also, take that wisdom, those instructions, and understanding that they offer to you, The father of righteousness will greatly rejoice, and he who begots a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad. You can make mom and dad so happy and so glad by showing your faithfulness to the Lord. Let her who bore you rejoice, my son. Give me your heart, and let your eyes observe my ways. Do not despair your mother when she's old and gray. And let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. Think about that, young folks. Being a parent is a great blessing, but it's a great responsibility. A responsibility that mothers and dads have together to give their children the guidance that will carry them to a love of the Lord. We should appreciate it in prayer, and we as parents need to make decisions for our children's upbringing and help to keep them in the Lord. I truly believe Proverbs 26 or 22 and verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it, if he's truly been trained, as Hannah made that decision early on to train that child from the very beginning and to work with them day in and day out and year in and year out, and to spend the vast majority of your time. And that's why mothers are so important, because they can stay with their children when the husband has to go off and work, and can be that spiritual guide, that lamp that lights their way. Well, the lesson this evening has really been hopefully to encourage us as moms and dads and grandparents and as children to think about the things that we need to do to grow as families, but to grow this congregation, to be sure that the next generation is sound and loving and remains true servants to the Lord. There should be someone here this evening that is not a Christian and understands those things that are very simply laid out for us in the book of Acts, that when men and women heard the gospel preached, the power is in the gospel preached, and they truly understood it, and they were willing to leave the world that they lived in to repent of their sins and to turn away from the ways of the world, to be willing to confess that Christ is the Son of God, is the Messiah, and to be baptized and to come up in newness of life, determined to live as God would have us live in our own lives, in our family lives, in our business lives, in the raising of our children, and in the maturing of our marriages. We would encourage you in whatever way that we can. And if there's someone that has fallen away and needs the prayers of the congregation, would you come now as we stand and sing the song?